reading from Srimad Bhagavatam. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yesterday we read verse 23 about how the gopis were turning their glance toward Mathura. First they were looking in the sky for several, they were looking up in the sky for several verses. The gopis were gathering in different groups at sunrise. That terrible day when Akura took Krishna and Balaram out of Vrindavan and whisked them away to Mathura, never to return again. So they're looking up at the sky. Oh, Providence, you're a child, you're foolish, you're sinful. You're acting impiously, giving us something in charity, giving us Krishna in charity, then taking him away again. And then as they were looking up in the sky, and several verses, they were rebuking and chastising Providence, which means God. Why are you doing this? Why are you causing this calamity to us? Why are you bringing about this great separation and ruining our love and ruining our lives by taking Krishna away? Then as they're glancing down, they look towards the root. As they're glancing down, they look towards the mountaintop, Nandishwar Hill. Nandishwar Hill is a form of Lord Shiva. Shiva has taken the form of this hill to serve Krishna. He's expanded himself to become this Nandishwar Hill, which is the village of Nandagaon. And on top of this hill is the palace of Nanda Baba. There's 56 rooms there. Very large palace, 56 rooms. That's quite a lot of rooms. And in that palace, Nanda Baba lives there, and Balaram lives there, and so many people. Of course, Krishna is there. And Mata Mangala is there also. And a host of servants, and also female sakis are living there, house servants, maid servants, and sakas, male servants. So Krishna is living there, and the gopis, they look at Nandagaon. They see the palace of Nanda Baba, and then they think, oh, actually it's not Providence at all. He is not causing our distress. He is not breaking our heart. He's not actually doing it. It's Krishna. This is his nature, to make loving relationships with someone, then break them in a minute. And he's intoxicated us with his smita asavam, with his smita, with his smile. What kind of smile? The smiling of his eyes, inviting us for romantic interludes, inviting us for so many sweet pastimes and the groves of Vrindavan, just by the corners of his eyes looking. And that smita asavam, asavam means the liquor of his glance, madira means liquor, wine, smita asavam. Just seeing his smita, his smiling glance, we become intoxicated by that nectar. We've forgotten everything, we gave up everything, shame, name, fame, society, family, our varna duty, our ashram duty, everything we gave up and ran to. Now he's just leaving us, run off to Mathura. And tomorrow it'll be such a wonderful day for all of them. But what about us? This will be the end. So then we're saying it'll be very auspicious. It will certainly be auspicious for the ladies of Mathura. Sukham Prabhat Rajaniyam Ashisha. This is very, very, very auspicious for them. Because in the women of Mathura, he's saying, Rajaniyam Ashisha. They will be very fortunate. Ashishvar or Ashish, Ashirvad. They will become truly blessed. The Mathura ladies, the Rajanis, they will become so blessed by that beautiful darshan of Krishna. But we will be so misfortunate. So Vishnu Chakravarti, he gives his purport. The gopis said, ah, this is so astonishing. While we have become so unfortunate, the ladies of Mathura have become supremely fortunate. This night will have an auspicious morning, Sukha Prabhat, for the women of Mathura, but an inauspicious one for the women of Braj. The blessings, Ashavad, the blessings given to those ladies by the Brahmanas or their long-standing aspirations have been fulfilled, whereas ours have become frustrated. So Vishnu Chakravarti is taking this word in Sanskrit. It says, Sukham Prabhata Rajaniyam Ashisha Ashisha. So he's taking this in relation to Ashavad. Ashavad means blessings. So he's saying that the gopis of Braj are imagining, the damsels of Braj are imagining, or they're thinking, that the ladies of Mathura are very fortunate. How have they become fortunate? How have they attained such bhagya? They've attained bhagya by the blessings of the brahmanas. Ashavad means blessings. We go to a saintly person, we say, oh, saintly person, please, ashavad de do. Ashavad de do. Please give me blessings. More and more blessings. Money blessings. Give me money blessings. Lots of money blessings. Give me lots of health blessings. Give me lots of Acer exam blessings. Give me lots of good husband blessings. Give me lots of good wife blessings. Give me lots of good car blessings and good house blessings. All kinds of important blessings we ask for, isn't it? And what does the sadhu say? Tatastu, tatastu, bhavatu, bhavatu. So be it. Let it happen. Take whatever you want and get the hell out of here. Take whatever you want and get the hell out of here. As fast, lickety split. As fast as you can. Jaldi karo, fatafat. So I can get back to my bhajan and get away from such people as you. Please, oh my dear sir, oh my dear materialist, please give me your blessings by leaving the, vacating the premises at the earliest. Please vacate the premises at the earliest, my dear Baniya Baba. So that I, Krishnadas Baba, can get back to my bhajan. And you can get back to your bhojan. Please leave very fast and attend to your bhojan. You have my blessings, so now take, go and enjoy your bhojan, so I can go on with my bhajan. I've given you blessing now. Jao, mat jao. So Vishnath is saying, the gopis are saying, wow, whatever they did, they gave Brahman Dhan. The Mathura Vasis, these ladies of Vrindavan, I mean Mathura, they gave Brahman Dhan and they got the Ashavad, Brahman Ashavad. They got blessings. And because of those blessings, it's going to be a good morning and they've gotten so much blessings and now their lives have become fortunate. The blessings given to these ladies of Mathura by the Brahmins or their long-standing aspirations. Long-standing aspirations means, in one word, sankalpa. Sankalpa. Long-standing aspiration, your intention, your resolution, your resolve. What are you holding? What is most dear in your mind? What is the cherished goal of your life? What is the most cherished goal of your life? The ever-present, omnipresent or ever-present goal of your life, that is your sankalpa. What do you really want? What is meaningful, important? What do you want to attain more than anything else? So the gopis are imagining, this must be their long-standing aspiration. They must have heard about Krishna, as we mentioned, from the flower ladies or from the various salespeople or gypsies moving here and there between Mathura and Vrindavan. They heard about Krishna's beauty and his exploits, his Leela Madhurya, Rupa Madhurya, Prema Madhurya, Vena Madhurya. And maybe they saw some paintings of Krishna done by different Chitrakalas or Chitrawalis. And seeing these paintings and hearing about his wonderful pastimes and leelas, then they developed a desire. We must attain Krishna. Krishna, we must become Krishna's lovers. We must see Krishna. They formulated a sankalpa in their heart. Oh, someday, somehow, oh providence, my only desire, my only wish is to have sakshat darshan of Krishna, Vrindavan Krishna, Nanda Nandan, Sri Nanda Nandan. And may, if it's at all possible, my only desire is that somehow I can render him direct service for his pleasure. Although I'm so far away here in Mathura, I don't know if he will ever come here. There's no indication that he would ever come here. Why would he come here? How would he come here? For what reason? There's no reason. All the cows are there. All his gopas are there. All the gopis are there. Rasamandal is there. Jamuna is there. Everything. Why would he come here? Giraj is there. Govardhan is there. Radhakund. What is in Mathura? What do we have here to attract him? Anyway, it is my hope against hope. It is my ashabanda. It is my sankalpa. So now the gopis are saying, yes, it's either the blessings of the brahmanas because they please brahmanas by feeding them, brahman bhojan, brahman dan, by honoring them and feeding them. And so the Brahmins gave them ashirvad, ashisha, or ashirvad, blessings, benedictions. Yes, whatever you want, it will be attained. I bless you with 7 children, 7 sons, and a religious, pious husband. And all these kind of... So they're thinking, the Brahmins would say, whatever you want, it will be fulfilled. Of course, they're not revealing. But their sankalpa in their mind, their long-standing aspiration is, we only want one thing, my dear Brahman. We want the service of Brajananda, or Nandanandan. So gopis are saying this. But our aspirations, our sankalpa has become frustrated. And the gopis go on to say, the women of Mathura will relish the intoxicating nectar, asava, the intoxicating, asava, nectar of the smile emanating from the corners of Krishna's eyes, which intimate a variety of confidential rasas. Instantly, the women of Mathura will abandon their propriety. They will abandon their shyness, and they will give up all fear to accept these hints from the corners of Krishna's eyes. Then at a suitable time, unseen by others, the ladies of Mathura will directly and fully drink the nectar of Krishna's face. So Vishnu Chakravarti, in his understanding of this verse from the gopis, spoken by the gopis are, because there's something called the direct meaning of the shlokas and the indirect meaning. The indirect meaning is described, the word is paroksha, paroksha vad. Vad means language or words. Paroksha vad means the implied meaning, the indirect meaning, and that the whole Bhagavatam, especially the 10th canto, is full of paroksha vad, the internal meaning, the rasic meaning. If one is a rasic and bhavuka, he's a rasika, he's a relisher of rasa, and he's identifying with the mellows and moods of the Bhagavatam due to his own realization, his own understanding based on knowledge and his devotional achievement, spiritual advancement. Then he will relish so much sweet taste and so much intimate exchanges of divine love between Krishna and his devotees. So Vishnu Chakravarti is Vinod Valari Mandri, and Krishna Leela, Vishnath has a Mandri Roop, Pran Sakhi. Vishwanath is a pransaki of Srimati Radharani, a Mandri maidservant, and her name is Vinod Valari Mandri. So she has access, exclusive access, to the most intimate and confidential leelas of Radha Madhav. So, in one way or another, he or she is revealing that the gopis are saying that now these women of Mathura, they are drinking Smita Asafa. They are drinking the nectar of the smile emanating from the corner of Krishna's eyes. So they're just, he's passing by, he'll be passing by when he enters Mathura on the chariot, and he gets off the chariot, he'll walk down the road. And these women from Mathura will look over the balcony of their houses and verandas, because they'll stay in their houses and look, and then Krishna will look from the corner of his eyes. And at that time, at that first meeting, they will drink nectar, smita asavam, the nectar of his smile. What smile? The smile of the corner of his eyes. And what is the corner of his eyes telling them? The Krishna Kripa Kataksha is telling him what? It's saying, it's intimating a variety. The corner of Krishna's eyes, he's intimating a variety of confidential rasas, which means he's basically saying, hey, come on, I want to meet you later. I want to meet you privately later. Let's fix an appointment and arrange a sanket. Let's arrange a sanket kunj, an appointed meeting place, Sanket Kunj. So all of this is in the glance. And they're drinking that nectar. Then the Vishwanath is bringing out a little bit more. That's the direct meaning of the verse. It said that in Sanskrit. Now he's saying the parokshava, the implied meaning, is that Krishna is glancing like this. Yes, the women of Mathura will be receiving this glance, and they will be reciprocating. Yes, we accept your intimations. We accept your invitations. We accept your conjugal proposals. And then later at a suitable time, unseen by others, this is all what the gopis were saying, these women of Mathura, later at a suitable time, unseen by others, in a confidential place, somewhere in Mathura, they will directly drink the nectar of Krishna's lips. They will kiss Krishna face to face in a loving embrace. So this is the horrible idea that the gopis are anticipating, that those ladies of Mathura will drink the nectar from our lover's lips. This is not a very satisfactory proposal at all. So all of this is being implied in this verse, that the gopis are going so crazy in their separation mood from Krishna that they're imagining all these things, that this is going to happen and that's going to happen, and it's all because of Krishna. So now they're looking at Nandagram and they're thinking of Krishna, you break loving relationships in a moment, now you're going to run off to Mathura. Then they turn like this and they look to Mathura. Oh, those ladies in Mathura. Oh, down this road goes from Nandagram to Mathura. Look, gopis, look down that road. See that Mathura? See that down there is Mathura. And tomorrow morning, this will be such an auspicious day, Shubha Pravat, for them. And what they're going to drink, that they'll get intoxicated. They'll be so intoxicated just by drinking the smita asavam. Asava means the wine, the asava. Asava, the madira, the wine, the intoxicating smile of Krishna's eyes. That will be enough to totally intoxicate them. When they drink that nectar, they'll be lost. They'll be sold out forever to Krishna. Just as soon as they see him, they'll just see at the corner of his eyes with that nectar will intoxicate them. Just like a man, when he gets hypnotized, he comes under hypnotic trance. So they'll become under the trance of love. They'll become entranced. They'll become entranced by Krishna's glance. Enchanted, captivated, intoxicated. Smita Asavam. And then in those glances, he will stun them. And then he will send invitations. Yes, now I have captured you. I have captured you and given you this nectar of my eyes. And now, please, follow the line of indication. Accept my invitation and meet me later. And they'll say, yes. Like hypnotized. And then, Shiva, Shiva, Vishnu, 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 Vishnu. And then, gopi, God forbid, they will directly drink the nectar of his lips. So this is all being said here. Text 24. To some mukundo madhumanju bashiter krihita chitta paravan manasvapi katam punarna pratiyasyate bhala gramyasya lajja smita vibramer brahman. This is text 24. O gopis, although our Mukunda is intelligent and very obedient to his parents, once he has fallen under the spell of the honey-sweet words of the women of Mathura and been enchanted by their alluring, shy smiles, how will Krishna ever return to us unsophisticated village girls? Dun, 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 dun. Looks bad. Doesn't look very good for the gopis. Oh, gopis. Madhu Manju Bhashater. We have Bhasha, right? Braj Bhasha. Bhashita. Bhashita means words. What kind of words? The gopis of Vrindavan, they're thinking, we're gopis, we're Abhira caste, we're the Abhira caste. Or Vaishya, there's different levels of Vaishyas. Some are landholders, some are very regal. Some Vaishyas and landholders are practically like royalty. They're like lords, like Kshatriyas. And they're also Vaishyas. And they have so many animals and horses and cows and vast lands, and they're Vaishyas. They're property owners, Zamindar, owners of property, called Vaishya. Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, but very royal, very regal. And then there are different classes of Vaishyas. You have to understand, they're not all one. There's so much stratification and hierarchy everywhere. If someone says, I'm an accountant. Well, what kind of accountant? There's so many kinds. There's thousands of kinds of accountants. Anywhere there's thousands of types of variety. So in Vaishyas, so now, well, what level or what type of Vaishya was Nanda Maharaj and his people, the cowherd people, the cowherd clan, the cowherds? They were a group called the Abhira. The Abhira, these people, they don't own any land. They don't own land. They're like nomadic. They're somewhat nomadic, or like the Rajasthani goat herders or the cow herders. They move here and there with the seasons. Sometimes they're in Haryana, sometimes they're in Rajasthan, sometimes they're in UP. And they bring all their animals and all their belongings and all their little kitties and all their wives or one wife or whatever. And on top of their camel. The camel is like their mobile home or something. The camel is carrying everything, and then their Winnebago mobile home, and they're going here and there. So the Abhira caste, they're Vaishyas, but they only take care of cows. So they're not considered very highly sophisticated or highly cultured Vaishyas or highly intelligent, because they just have cows. And that's why if you read the pastimes of Krishna, Nanda Baba is sometimes living in Nandagaon, sometimes in Kamyavan, sometimes in Gokul. He's moving around, and always a discussion, if you read the Bhagavatam, the discussion about where to move next. What is the main consideration in the discussion? When Nanda Maharaj meets with his elder brother Upananda, if you read tightly Bhagavatam, maybe you don't read, but if you read, there's discussions why they decided to move from Gokul to Chatikar, then from Chatikar to Nandagaon. And the discussion centers around the cows. Oh, our spies, our investigators, have gone from Gokul, and they've gone to Vrindavan. There is a place called Vrindavan, Nanda Maharaj, and there's so much fresh grass there, and there's Govardhan Hill, and there's beautiful blue-green grass there. It will be very nourishing and healthy for the cows. And there are many waterfalls, and many lakes, and the beautiful Yamuna is flowing there very nicely, and the cows can drink lots of fresh water. And there's so many forests there. This area of Gokul, Mathura, is not so many forests. It's kind of the suburbs of Mathura, Gokul, where they were staying. It's called Brihadvan. Mahavan or Brihadvan, where Nanda Maharaj liked very much, where he was living in Gokul. But Upananda and others were inducing him, let's shift everything. But this Putana is coming, this Putana demon has come, and Trinavarta and Chakatasura, and Krishna and these twin Arjun trees, Yamala Arjun trees. Krishna's almost been killed by these demons. It's very dangerous. And so many terrible things are happening here in Gokul. Let's shift our residence to Vrindavan. So to convince Nanda Maharaj, all the arguments were centered around feeding the cows. Grass and beautiful water. And there's so many tall trees there. Vrindavan, there's so thick forest, very huge trees you can't get your arms around. The diameter is so huge. 12 feet in diameter. Huge trees are there. And the cows can drink the water, pasture on the sweet grass, and recline and sleep under the shady trees. What could be a better place for our cows? Oh, this is very nice. Nanda Maharaj didn't buy 1 acre of the property of Vrindavan. There was no ownership. He didn't register the land in the Mathura land court. He didn't fight with the landlords, warlords and mafia to get land in Nandagaon. They just moved in. That's like the Mughals moved into India for 800 years, and the British moved in and took over the place. He just moved there, and the cows wandered free pasturing, and then they needed some place, so they eventually lived in Chatikar for 3 years, 3.5 years, and then they moved to Nandagram and stayed there, and they made some residence on top of the hill. But they were nomadic, wandering here and there. So it's the situation. So we'll continue this tomorrow. So there, the gopis are saying, what is our speech? What do we know that these ladies, the bash, what is this city speech? It's madhu and manju. Madhu and manju. Madhu means sweet like honey. City girls speak so sweet like honey and so charming. But village girls say, hey, you come here, hey, what are you doing? Hey, slow down, sit down. Everyone knows that Brijvasis have very heavy speech. Even today, like today and then also then. Srimad Bhagavatam, the key. Yeah.